You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on December 9th, 2018, the second Sunday of Advent, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Have you ever found yourself running from a prophet? I know I have. Seems like each Advent, without fail, I run into a prophet, or more accurately, a prophet runs into me. This year, I encountered a prophet at a continuing education class called Ethics Through an Anti-Oppression Lens. I found myself in a group of 35 professional therapists of various ethnicities, gender identities, and socioeconomic backgrounds. I was one of only three white males in the workshop. The stage was set for the Holy Spirit to work. I have to admit, the presenter rubbed me the wrong way from the very beginning. She began her presentation by making jabs at the Shriners whose building we were using for the class. She then proceeded to make a flippant remark about the Christmas tree in the corner, and I could tell it was going to be a very long day. However, I stuck with it. After all, I had paid good money to be there, and I badly needed my continuing education credits. It gets better, as my license was expiring the very next day. The presenter went on to make several very important points about how ethical decisions made in the medical and mental health fields have discriminated against various minority groups. I definitely needed to hear the message, although I didn't like the messenger. It is always a difficult day when you're in the presence of a prophet who confronts you with truths that you do not want to hear. And of course, all of life is continuing education. So what exactly is a prophet? Frequently we hear a prophet is one who can predict the future. And although that's often true, a biblical prophet is one sent by God with a primary mission to bring his people back into alignment with God's will, so they'll become the best version of themselves. In today's gospel, we encounter the Advent prophet named John the Baptist. The gospel writer goes to great effort to ground this prophet in history by providing us with a very lengthy list of both religious and governmental officials will play key roles in Jesus' eventual execution. They are leaders mired in corruption and sin. The Roman Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, King Herod, Annas and Caiaphas. There are too many to count. We immediately get the idea that this is not a feel-good Hallmark Channel Christmas story, but a real story that challenges us to find a better and new version of ourselves and our communities. In 1963, a modern-day prophet, Martin Luther King Jr., expressed a dream when he spoke in Washington, D.C. during the Civil Rights Movement. Dr. King built his vision on the words of the prophet Isaiah, which forms the heart of today's gospel lesson. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together. Know that we will be free one day. During this past week, in the aftermath of former President George H.W. Bush's death, we as Episcopalians have been united in prayers. We've been reminded of our civic responsibility to work together to uphold our communities, to bring us more into the dream enshrined in our Constitution, to work tirelessly for peace and justice and equality for all Americans, regardless of what political party we belong to. Like the biblical prophets of old, we are interested in not only our personal salvation, but the redemption and the salvation of our entire world. I think many of us feel, and I know I do, that we're living in some kind of wilderness right now where there's more lawlessness than laws, more incivility than civility, more despair than hope, and more worry than peace. Advent is a season that helps us to hold all this tension as we wait for the coming of a new king, a new creation, a new vision of ourselves and our nation. And what are the signs of this coming kingdom, this new creation? According to John the Baptist, it is repentance and forgiveness. We hear the voice of John the Baptist calling us to freedom, like all the great prophets that have come before him and followed after him. In this day and age, it seems almost unenlightened or judgmental to even mention the word sin because of how it's been misused. But if sin is anything that separates us from the love of God and our neighbor, then we most certainly need to be liberated from anything that holds back this love. We must embrace the wilderness of our lives to see it as a place to encounter prophets of hope and not a place to flee from danger or unpleasant realities about ourselves, our families, or our communities. Prophets of hope point us to Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is a perfect freedom to be all and nothing less than what we are created by God to be. No matter how tall the mountain is we got to cross, or how crooked the path, or how many prophets God has to send our way. There are two dimensions to the freedom. First is a process by which we allow others to speak prophetically into our lives so that we might be changed. By allowing God's truth to be delivered through others, our blind spots are more easily seen, and hopefully our motivation and desire to heal and to seek forgiveness is increased. Second is the process by which we in turn become prophetic voices speaking into the hearts and souls of others, speaking it in love so they can be helped in their own journey of transformation. Just the other day, I had the experience of sharing with a counseling client that there was an alternative perspective that she could take regarding the holidays. Because she recently had lost her mother to cancer, she was tempted to see the Christmas story as something to avoid all entirely together. It was loss and pain and not transformation for her. She had never heard of Advent, the process of opening your heart to receive a new Christmas. When I suggested that because of her pain and vulnerability, she now was prepared to have something more like the biblical story, her face began to lit up. With the secular version of Christmas pushed completely aside, she began to receive the biblical story of Christmas in a new way. She could more fully see in fuller color that Mary and Joseph too were filled with hope and that the hope wasn't found under a Christmas tree. We are all a work in progress. And the Apostle Paul, who dearly loved his struggling church in Philippi, who wanted to give them hope, said this, "I am confident in this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." And so I invite all of us to examine our Advent callings, our Advent yearnings and longings, to listen for prophets of hope to speak, and to speak prophetically to other people's lives when you're called to do so, that we might all prepare to receive the Christ child who promises to bring us a deeper, a richer, a fuller Christmas. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.